You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Guys, it fit through the door. I inflated it, practiced everything, and then I'm like, what? So this is a river tubing raft, river rafting tubes, plural. And I just want you to imagine a scenario with me. Say I'm sitting right here in this particular section, right near the cooler. What's going on here? All right, you're just backing that up. Okay. Say I'm, sitting right here. And let's say Kyle is sitting here. And he's saying, no, you can go. You're good. Thank you. Let's say Kyle's sitting here. And I don't know, you're sitting here, okay? And we're all kind of rolling on the river. Whoa. How close am I back there? Oh, my TV. All right, we're just going to stay right here. So I'm here. Kyle's here. You're here. And we're going on. We're enjoying our day. It is a beautiful day floating down the river. But suddenly, we find ourselves in a spot that's really deep and really far away from the edges. We're not on the Juniata. We're on the Mississippi. And as we're on the middle of the Mississippi, and it's high banks on both sides, because the Mississippi's in the Grand Canyon. And you didn't realize that, but this particular Mississippi is, because we're imagining. And so we're going down, and suddenly, while we're in the middle of this super wide stretch of river, a storm comes. And this storm is bad. And here we are, floating down the middle of the river. And again, I'm here, and Kyle's here, and you're there. And I'm sitting here going, oh my word, I can't believe I have to go through this. This is so awful for me. How terrible this is. What is going on? And, you're sitting here going, dude, I'm here too. I'm going through this as well. You're not the only one. And meanwhile, Kyle's over here going, oh, I'm so glad I'm not Sean. Because boy, is he going through a rough time now. I am in a much better spot than he is. Boy, is it terrible to be him. And you, of course, would be sitting here going, wait, Kyle, you're going through the same situation as Sean. Like, there's no difference. And of course, what you would say to both of those situations is you would say, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. And it would be stupid for me to say I'm going through something that these two people aren't. And there's no one there. I don't know what happened to that person. They fell out a long time ago. we hope we meet them at the bottom. Anyway, they had a life vest on. It's good. But, you'd be like, you're going through the same thing. And for Kyle to be like, no, I'm going through something. And at least I'm not going through what they're going through. And actually, Kyle is, because he's in the same boat. And this is what I want us to talk about this morning, if I can carefully lay this down. Because we are starting a new series called Skeletons in the Closet. I'm going to take this off and this off. We're starting a new series. Wow, it's bright up here. We're starting a new series called Skeletons in the Closet. And I don't know if you're familiar with skeletons in the closet as a phrase, but it's something we use all the time to talk about a situation. And it comes from this, just for what it's worth, I'm going to give you the facts, the history behind the skeletons in the closet phrase. It's not a Halloween series. It just happens to be in October. And actually, the kids in Ignition are doing the same topics, but their series is called Hide and Seek, because we didn't want to confuse them with skeletons and what all that might mean or might not mean. And Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. But Skeletons in the Closet, actually, it came around in, it was in 1832, okay, in Britain. There was an act of parliament that was passed that allowed doctors to do autopsies or studies on dead bodies. But prior to 1832, it was illegal to do that. And of course, doctors in 1832, as you know, you would know because you're a British doctor in 1832, they would want to learn. And they would want to inspect and see what they could learn from these bodies. And of course, today forensics is a totally normal part, and there's a whole bunch of shows about it. One might be called Bones, for whatever worth that might be. But back then, it was such a unique idea, and it was illegal. And so a doctor that wanted to inspect and kind of do some of these autopsies on bodies, if they would do all their thing, but if someone would show up, they would have to take that body and hide it. That cadaver or that skeleton, and they would typically stick it in the cupboard or the closet. And the phrase skeletons in the closet was developed after that idea to say that sometimes, you know, these doctors would be hiding things in the closet. They would be hiding things they don't want anybody else to see, they don't want anybody else to know about. And of course, we have come to use that phrase today to refer to the things that we are hiding, to the secrets that we have, to the things that are going on behind the scenes that you think you are the only one that knows about. But the point this morning is that we're all in the same boat because we all have our skeletons in the closet. And we'll get into what that means in a second, but I just want to explain something. We started putting this series together 3 months ago. And honestly, what triggered this series for me, what the final straw, was that Coldplay concert. And I'm sure you're familiar with this, but a number of months back over the summer, there was a Coldplay concert, and they had the kiss cam, the couple's cam, up on the screen. And there was this couple that was next to each other, and then when the camera came on, suddenly they jumped apart. And it turned out it was the CEO of a company having an affair with his administrator, his finance lady, I forget what her actual title was, and in an instant, his life came crumbling down, her life came crumbling down, he was lost his position, not just his marriage, because he was married to someone else, but he lost his marriage, he lost his business, he lost everything. I mean, it was this horrible thing, but he was just one piece of this thing, and if you are if you grew up in church, or if you have been following church things, like, this is a pattern in church leaders. There have been documentaries. Discovery Channel did a documentary. There's one of the most popular podcasts ever about a church in Seattle, Washington. There was a famous speaker that we all love. We've watched their videos, and he had a drinking problem. He wasn't an alcoholic, but he drank medicinally every night just to ease the pain of ministry. He was found out. He lost his position. There was a great Christian apologist, a great man who taught all about why we can trust and believe the Bible. He died, and they found out that he was running massage therapy parlors secretly and doing inappropriate things with women. And the list goes on and on. And even in our own little town, our own little Mifflin County, those stories have repeated themselves by church leaders, by people that say, I'm standing up for Jesus. Don't talk about what's going on behind the scenes. And so this series kind of came out of all of that to say, dude, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. And I'm not talking about just the church leaders. I'm talking about MC3. I'm talking about us. Because this has to stop. We can't keep hiding these things, because we will see in a moment, they are known, and when they come out publicly, they're going to destroy your life, your marriage, your career, whatever it is. And so it's time to stop messing around. And so this series, just to be clear, right now, if you're listening, if you're watching online, you are probably going, okay, great, I'm not coming back for the rest of the month. That's probably your temptation right now. And it's, you know, I don't want to talk about deep stuff. I don't want to get into this stuff. This is secret. We're going to leave it secret. Shut up, Sean. And I'm just saying to you, fight that urge. Every week of this series is going to build upon itself. And we're going to get to the end, and it's going to be hard. And if you're looking for easy, you shouldn't be following Jesus. Because Jesus clearly said, following me is going to be difficult. In this life, you will have trouble. But this is going to be hard. But we're doing it because we need to address this stuff, because it is so much more important for the skeletons to come out on our own, for us to bring them into the light, as we saw in the intro video, than to get found out, than to get discovered, than to have a problem or an issue or a serious thing happen. And so again, if you're tempted to skip this, the rest of this series, there might be a reason why. And the reason you might be tempted to skip the rest of the series is because, just like Sean in our own little illustration there, you're probably thinking, well, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that struggles with this. Or you might be like Kyle, jerk, who's thinking, well, I'm better than everyone else, so I don't need this. And I can tell you, in that scenario, we are both wrong, because we're all in the same boat. We all have our skeletons in the closet. And I can just tell you, the ramping up to this series, I have never been more distracted in my life leading into this. We have been dealing with some church things that are way beyond the normal level. And I think it's because if God can distract me and you from what we're about to talk about, sorry, if Satan, important word, if Satan can distract me and you from what we're about to talk about, then he wins. Because then we don't address the sin. Because if we address the sin now, there is nowhere for him to go. So, we all have our skeletons in the closet. And of course, we've been doing YouVersion, the YouVersion notes. If you don't have YouVersion, it's a free Bible app. They're about to hit 1 billion downloads. It's crazy. The most downloaded app ever. And we have our notes. You can go to events on the little, as they say, hamburger, the settings menu. Find Mifflin County Community Church, and you can follow along there, because these notes are there. And the important thing about the notes is that I'm going to go faster than you can write. I'm going to go faster, so if you have the notes, get them out. You're going to need them for your discussion guide for your prime group as well this week. But we're going to be looking at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. And what's happening here in this passage is that Paul is writing this letter, the Apostle Paul. And actually Chris, a couple weeks ago, shared about his story. He used to be Saul. He persecuted followers of Jesus, imprisoned them, killed them. And he eventually... God shows up in an amazing, miraculous way, and he comes to follow Jesus. And he starts planting churches all over what we know as the Mediterranean region. And one of the churches was a church called Corinth. It was in a city called Corinth. And so it was the church at Corinth. There was only one church in every city at that time. And so he wrote this letter to them to explain. He wrote two letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, to talk to them about some of the challenges and struggles that they were dealing with. And he starts chapter 10 with this review of all of these things that happened in the history of Israel. And this review was a list of their failures, of God's chosen people, and their failure after failure after failure. And so then we pick up in verse number 12. I need to move this. I can't see. And this is what Paul writes. After sharing all these failures in verse 12, he says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure." And essentially what Paul is saying here is that we are all in the same boat. Whether you're a Sean or a Kyle, we're all going through the same things together, because we are all in the same boat. And there's four things that I want you to see in this passage, because you're probably in one of these seats. As a matter of fact, you are in one of these seats, because I said, imagine you're in one of these seats. So boom. But maybe you're more like Kyle. Maybe you're more like me. Kyle, you shouldn't have come up on stage. Just beating you up. But the first thing is that you're not better than anyone else. You're not better than anyone else. This idea that we think, oh, well, you know, like Kyle going, wow, I'm really glad I'm not Sean. Boy, it stinks. He's trapped in this boat in the middle of a river in a storm. But actually, no, he's in the same boat. And Paul says this as a reminder. As you hear all these issues and failures that Israel went through, and it's easy for the church in Corinth, and it's easy for us to say, wow, you know, I never made an idol out of gold and started worshiping it. I never went through these problems. And Paul says this in verse 12. He says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. If you think you are standing strong, and this phrase, be careful, this is all written in Greek, and it doesn't just mean like, hey, be careful, safe travels, traveling mercies, hedge of protection, whatever. It's like, watch out! Danger, Will Robinson, be careful, be on your guard, be on the lookout. He says, if you think you're in a spot where you're like Kyle going, oh, I'm glad I'm not them. I'm not going through anything. Paul says, no, watch out, because you are going through that. Be careful not to fall. Because the moment we think, oh, I'm better than everyone else, you are done. You are in trouble. Because number one, you're not better than everyone else. Because we all have skeletons in the closet. He says, be careful. Watch out that you don't fall. And you might be sitting here going, you know what? I don't need this series. I'm good. And I can tell you, number one, you do need this series. And number two, if for no other reason, it's because you're a liar. Because you're lying to yourself that you don't need to worry about the skeletons in your closet. So your skeleton, at the very least, is lying. And you're like, how can you say that? We'll get to that. But Paul says, you're not better than anyone else. If you think you're strong, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The second thing that we see here is that we're all in the same boat, is that you're not worse than anyone else. Because it's easy to be kind of like me up here going, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what I've done. And I'm the only one that is hiding things. But really, we're all in the same boat. Because we're all going through the same struggle together. And maybe your particular skeleton looks different than my particular skeleton. And by the way, you will hear more about my skeletons as this series go on. Because I am not better than anyone else. But you're not worse than anyone else. And that's what Paul goes on and says in the first part of verse 13. He says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. The things you're going through are no different from what others experience. You are not worse than anyone else. You're not the only one. You're in the same boat with everyone else. And your assumption might be, well, they look great. And yeah, we do. Guys, you're beautiful. We look fantastic, except for the guy with the weird shirt and the boat shoes on. And it's easy to look at them and say, oh, well, they're perfect, and their marriage is perfect, and their family is perfect, and their job is perfect. And there was a song years ago by a group called Casting Crowns. It was called Shiny Plastic People, all about the church and how people in the church are so good at looking perfect. But the truth is, we're not. And Paul is just, talking to the church in Corinth and talking to us today, as you consider all those issues, all the problems that the Israelites faced and their failures, hey, look, it's no different. You're no different than them. They struggled and fell, and you struggle and fall. You have skeletons in your closet. He says the temptations in your life are no different. They might look all put together, but they're not. So we're all in the same boat. You're not better than anyone else. Wait, Kyle? You're not worse than anyone else. Sean? Because we're all in the same boat. But here's where we're going. This is a little spoiler as we move through these next 3 weeks, 4 weeks of this series. You're not better than anyone else. You're not worse than anyone else. But with God, you can stand strong. With God, you can stand strong. So it doesn't mean, unlike us who are trapped to our fate in this raft, that we're done. With God, you can stand strong. And there's this verse here at the in the middle of verse 13 that is just beautiful. So he says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And the hinge is right here in the middle. And God is faithful. And God is faithful. And God is faithful. Not you, not them, not the other person. It's God who is the hinge here. Yeah, you might think you're better, but you're not. You might think you're worse, but you're not. But you know what? God is faithful. You're not consistent. I'm not consistent. But God is faithful. The word faithful means steadfast, strong, worthy of faith because of proof. And then he goes on and says, He, God, will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And so this is important. There's a couple things you need to know. Very, very important. Number one, Paul is not saying that God is tempting you. James 1:13 very clearly says God does not tempt anyone. God is not going to tempt you to sin. There's testing, there's challenges, there's things that develop our faith. And, you know, Peter talks about going through the refiner's fire that gets rid of all the impurities. And maybe this series is getting rid of an impurity in your life. And that's going to be hard, but that's not tempting to sin. And God will never do that. So that's very important. And James says that. But what he's saying here is that you don't have to give in to temptation. If you allow God, and you're in the midst of a temptation, if you allow God in, He is going to help you. He is not. You do not have to give in. And a lot of times, especially with the skeletons that are in our closet, the reason they're in our closet is because I'm powerless. Every time I try, I fail. I try to overcome that and I fail. I try not to talk that way and I fail. I try not to look at porn and I fail. I try not to drink and I fail. I try not to say those things and I fail. I try to stay away from that person and I fail. And we fail and fail and fail and fail. And it's like I just can't do anything about it. Let's hide it away. Because I'm just a victim here. But Paul says, no. No, you're not. With God, you can stand strong. Martin Luther, the reformer from, you know, a long time ago, led the Reformation of the church. He once said that, let me quote it right here, which I don't know if this is the right quote. He says, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. And so there is going to be temptation. There are going to be challenges because, as we'll see in a moment, you're a sinner. Sorry. And so you're not going to prevent temptations to come. If you're Jesus, Jesus can prevent temptation. But you're not going to be able to. But when they come, you can keep these birds from flying over, but you can't keep them from flying over, but you can keep them from making a nest in your head, hair, if you had hair. And the point is that you can stand firm. You don't have to give in. You are not a victim to whatever is hiding in your closet. You don't have to give in to that. And it's so important because it's easy. Again, you're going to want to go like, I'm not coming back. I'll watch online. I'll go to a different church. Whatever I can do to avoid having to deal with this because I just can't stop it. I can't fix it. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. Because with God, you can stand strong. And then finally, you're not better than anyone else. You're not worse than anyone else. But with God, you can stand strong. And finally, but with God, you can get out. Not only stand strong when temptations come, but you can get out. You can get these things out of the closet. You can address them. You can deal with them. You can. And again, we are, and we'll talk about this in a moment, we try to fix it on our own. We try to fix it our own way, on our own selves, and you fail, and you think, I can't fix this. And short answer is, no, you can't. This time, I'm not going to do that. And then you do it again. But with God, you can get out. God is faithful. And this is what Paul writes in the last part of verse 13. He says, when you are tempted, so he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. He will show you a way out. The problem is we're not willing to listen. We're not willing to look. God's saying, there's the way out. And we're like, nah, this is too much fun. I've tried before and it hasn't worked. If you're willing to deal with the skeletons in your closet, He will show you a way out. You can get out from the anger of whatever's in that closet, from the pain, from whatever you've got hiding in your closet, from the bitterness of whatever is in your past that is hiding in that closet, from the hurt, from whatever is hiding in your closet, from the shame of what you've done that you have hidden in that closet. You can get out, and that's what Jesus came to do. And you need to stick around to hear more about that. And maybe this series is your way out. And maybe whatever is in your closet you put in there just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, maybe it's something that's been in there for decades. With God, you can get out. He will show you a way out. It's just a matter of, are we willing to listen? Are we willing to allow Him to do His part? And here's the thing. Sometimes the way out is hard. We had a magnet on our fridge back during the planting days of MC3 because there was a lot of challenge. There was a lot of difficulty. And the magnet said, when you're going through hell, keep going. Because eventually, going through the hard part, you'll get out to the other side. And that's not theologically accurate. Don't be like, oh, hell is something I can get through. No, okay. But the idea is when you're going through something, like this is going to be hard, but going through the hard thing is going to be better. Setting a bone is painful, but it makes it for better later. Getting stitches or staples is not fun, but it allows you to heal later. There are a lot of things that we do that aren't fun, aren't easy, but they're for the sake of something better. And that's what it's going to take from us. That's what it's going to take from you to say, I want to get out. I want this to be out. I want to be done hiding. Because we're all in the same boat. You're not better than anyone else. You're not worse than anyone else. You're not alone in this. The people next to you. Do this for me. Look at the person next to you. And just tell them, you've got a skeleton in your closet. Now look at the other person around you the other way. And say to them, you've got a skeleton in your closet. Because you do. We do. I do. You're a pastor. You're a man of the cloth. Dude, I'm a sinner. And there's things we want to hide. So we're all in the same boat. You're not better than anyone else. You're not worse than anyone else. With God, you can stand strong. And with God, you can get out. Because we all have our skeletons in the closet. And if you're not sure about that, if you don't necessarily agree, I want to pull apart a few passages here to just kind of reinforce that a little bit. And what I want to reinforce is that we all do it. We all hide. We all put things behind those doors and we don't want anyone to find out. Company comes over and we stick it away. Right? Here, just in case you're not sure if that ever happens. Have you ever been in a fight with someone? You probably haven't, because it's just me. No, wait, we're all in the same boat. You've probably been in a fight with someone, and you're yelling, and you're angry, and you're... And then the phone rings, you're like, hello, how are you doing? Throw it in that closet. Get it in there real quick. Don't do this. How many of you had a fight on your way to this building and then you walked in the door and everything was fine? Me. And we get in, it's in the closet, we're good. No, we all do it. We all do it. And so what is it that we all do? Well, A few things. The first thing is we try to deny, and I don't mean for that to rhyme. Sometimes I do, but not this time. We try to deny our skeletons. And again, just saying the same thing over and over. We try to pretend like, no, it doesn't really, I don't really have an issue. I'm better than they are. I mean, I'm not that bad. And I'm sure, and I know that, man, oh, those people, I know skeletons that people have in their closet because everyone shares their secrets with me. And I know them, and I'm better than them. But I'm pretty good. I'm not as bad as them. And maybe you're not as bad as them. But the problem is, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to each other. Your wife is not your standard for what is good or bad. Your parents are not your standard for what is good or bad. Your pastors are not your standard for what is good and bad. The standard is God. God is the standard. And He is the one that sets the tone. And anything short of God is short. And I can say short because I'm short, but we're short. And in Romans chapter 3, and this is a long passage, but I just want you to hear some things here or see some things on the screen. Everything that's in blue there is kind of this setup. Paul writes this to the church in Rome. He says, all people, that's everybody. And then just to clarify it, in case you were his original audience going, well, does he mean just the Jewish people or the Gentiles who are not Jews? He's like, no, all people, Jewish or not Jewish, all of us. He says, all people are under the power of sin. All people, everyone. Now, he's now going to start quoting a whole bunch of passages from Psalms, different parts of Psalms. And if you want them, I can give them to you later. They might even be footnoted in your Bible. But every time he talks about these people, all people, and listen to what he says. As the scriptures say, no one, meaning nobody, is righteous. Well, what about, no, not even one. Okay. Well, no one is truly wise. Well, I kind of, no. No one is seeking God. Well, I go to church. Are you comparing to other people or are you comparing to God's standard? Because it's church once a week. Is that what worship is? God, I only worship you on Sunday. The rest of the 6 days of the week are mine. That's a problem. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Well, there was not a single one. And now he's talking in the, what is that? The first person plural? Third person plural. Third person, they? Them? Anyway. And now he's talking to the same people. There. Who are those there? It's all people. All people. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Well, come on. That's a little harsh. You don't think your words hurt? That harsh to say my words are like an open grave? Yeah. Because you have said things that have hurt people and ruined them. Oh, it wasn't a big deal. It was just my words. Then shut up. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Right? All things. Their tongues are filled with lies. Well, here we go. We're liars. Snake venom drips from their lips. All people, snake venom drips from their lips. Not nice things to say. Poison, right? Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Well, I don't swear. Well, I mean, I don't use the F-bomb. I mean, I don't use the F-bomb a lot. That's not what he's talking about. Any action we do that is against God is saying, God, I curse you. I'm not interested in following you. He says, where am I? They rush to commit murder. I haven't killed anybody. Actually, Jesus says if you hate someone, you have murdered them in your heart. Jesus, why did you say that? Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. If you're comparing yourself to other people and you're like, why can't I find peace? Because your standard is wrong. They have no fear of God at all. And so then Paul summarizes. And he says, obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose was to keep people from having excuses. So he's talking about the Old Testament law. It was there to show people that there's no excuse, to show that the entire world is guilty before God. A law is just a standard, and if you fail, if you fall short, then you did something wrong. If you get pulled over for speeding, and you were speeding, you did something wrong. You fell short. If there was no speed limit, they're not going to pull you over for speeding. He says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands, and we'll come back to that. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. And then he ends with this, verse 23. And if you grew up in church, you're probably familiar with Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. All of us. No levels. No, this sin is worse. I know that was part of our discussion guide a couple weeks ago. All sin is sin. God is the standard, not the person next to you. So if they've murdered someone and you haven't, you're like, hey, I'm good. No, you're not. You're a sinner. You fell short of God's standard. There are no levels there. And if it was, then Jesus didn't die. His death didn't work. Sorry, Jesus, you missed that one. Better luck next time. But see, we try to deny our skeletons because we compare it to other people. Mine aren't that bad. Well, actually, we're all sinners. There is no perfect, sinless person because we're all in the same boat. The second thing is we all do it. We try to hide our skeletons. We try to hide our skeletons. And again, that's why this series exists, because we try to hide these things. And it's totally normal. You're like, I don't hide. Yeah, we do. We do. Again, if you answer a phone and suddenly your tone changes, you've hidden something. If you bend the truth so it looks pretty good, you've hidden something. If you ignore emotion and pain and hurt from your past, you're hiding something. Just so you know, we're all in the same boat. So maybe this is who's over here. This seat is for two people that you probably are all familiar with, even if you've never gone to church before. That's Adam and Eve. Very first people that God created. And everything was perfect. Everything was good. They were in the garden. Everything was wonderful. And then Satan showed up and tempted them to sin. And they did not have to give in, but they did. And here's how it goes. You probably know the story. But in Genesis 3, verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So she was like, hey, this is good. This fruit is good. And maybe it was an apple. Maybe it was a pomegranate. Maybe it was something. We don't even know. She's like, this looks good. I know God said no, but I'm going to eat it because it's from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that God specifically said, do not eat. She took some and ate it, and she also gave it to her husband, and I've said this so many times, who was with her. He's right there. Before we start blaming that woman, the man was right there too. And he ate it. So they sinned, right? It says, then both of them were, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. And yes, they were without clothing, but this is way more than just exposure to the sun. This is recognizing that they're naked before God. That they have nothing before God. That they have fallen short. That they have something. And so, because they are good humans like you and I are good humans, they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. They said, whoa, we screwed up. Let's shove this into the closet. It goes on and says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God created the trees. God created the air and the ground that they walk on. And he sustains all of it. And you're going to hide from him? Just to give you some perspective, right? Probably at some point in your life, you will play peekaboo. And this is the way the game of peekaboo works. Huh? You can't see me. Peekaboo. Right? Right? You're with me, right? Okay? And the foolishness of that is that we're like, oh, because I can't see you, you can't see me. That's what Adam and Eve are doing. And so it says they hid from the Lord God. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I knew that I had sinned. I had this skeleton here, so I hid, and I shoved it into the closet. And it's been happening ever since. Because when we realize these things, we hide them. And that's our natural tendency. And that's not just your tendency, and no one else around you does that. That's all of us. And that's what we try to do. We try to hide our sins. We all do it because we're all in the same boat. We all try to hide our sins. We all try to hide those things in our closet. We try to hide our skeletons. We try to deny our skeletons. And then the third thing is here is we try to ignore our skeletons. Because naturally this is what we do. We're like, if I pretend that it didn't happen, if I pretend that it's not there, then maybe it'll go away. If I ignore it, it'll go away. If I ignore it, it won't bother me. We try to ignore it and like, no, there's what? I'm fine. No, you're good. I mean, right? You've had those moments. Again, you're seeing someone you haven't seen in a while, or maybe you saw them yesterday, or maybe you walked in the door and someone said, hey, how you doing? You're like, great. That is our natural response. Great, good, I'm fine. Right away. But are you? And of course, you know, part of that's just being polite. And I'll be like, oh my word, I was stuck on this raft with Kyle. Oh, you do not want to hear about that story. But we quickly, oh, I'm fine. So, everything's fine. I'm good. We're good. We try to ignore it. And this happened with a woman that Jesus encountered at this well in Sychar in the area of Samaria. This was a Samaritan woman. And there's a lot more to what's going on here. Some really cool, powerful things about Jesus going to this, what we talked about last month, Judea and Samaria. This was a Samaritan woman. These were people that Jews did not typically like. And Jesus went to her. And he says in chapter 4 of John, verse 13 to 18, it says, Jesus replied, he's talking to her. He says, basically, I've got this special water, this water of life. And he says, anyone who drinks this water will soon become, talking about the well that they're sitting at, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Jesus is saying, look, I'm offering you something that's going to change you forever. You can drink this water, but you're going to be thirsty. But I've got something more. And the woman says, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. And at this point, she didn't quite get that Jesus was talking about something more than like special, you know, what Aquafina or something like that. Like, I don't know. She didn't quite get it. But here's the interesting thing. And this is just a little turn here, and we often miss it because of the bigger picture. But Jesus says, go and get your husband. Because she's a woman. She's out there. Well, of course, you know, her husband. I don't have a husband. The woman replied, okay, Jesus, his mistake, my bad, sorry, thought you were married, I just assumed. But that's not how Jesus said it. He said, I don't have a husband, the woman said. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, which is frowned upon, okay? And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. And Jesus is calling that out too. Side note, shouldn't be living with someone you're not married to. He said, you certainly spoke the truth. And for this woman, she's like, well, maybe if I ignore it, then Jesus will give me one. And we think that we can ignore it. We're going to stick it in there and nobody's going to know about it. But Jesus knows every detail. Jesus wasn't just fishing and going, well, go get your husband. You don't have one? Okay. Doesn't have a husband. Okay. Do you like tacos? Yeah. Okay. Yes, likes tacos. Like, that's not, he knew. He knew everything and he knows everything about us too. And so even though we try to ignore it, we're not going to get away. And even though we think no one knows about our skeletons, God does. And your skeletons that you think no one else knows about, he knows about. And my skeleton that I think no one else knows about, he knows about. And we're all sitting here in the same boat, going through the same thing, going, nobody knows about this. Nobody knows about this. Nobody knows about this. God knows it all. So we all do it. We try to deny our skeletons. We try to hide our skeletons. We try to ignore our skeletons. And finally, we try to fix our skeletons. And this ultimately is why they end up in the closet. Usually. Because we try to fix it, and we fail. And we fix it, and we fail, and we just shove it in the closet. Don't let anybody else know about it. And what is so cool about this passage is that this is, again, the Apostle Paul. He was a great persecutor of the church, comes to Jesus in an amazing, miraculous way. Jesus shows up with a bright light that blinds him for days. And then he ends up planting churches all over the Mediterranean and writing basically half of the New Testament. So, like, if we're going to talk, you know, earlier, like, we're all in the same boat, maybe we're not. Maybe Paul's not in this boat because Paul, I mean, dude, he's the Apostle Paul, right? Like, I mean, I know our pastor's a loser, but Paul's pretty cool. Paul's amazing. I mean, he's Paul. And listen to what he writes in his own confession, in his own trying to fix it. He says, I don't really understand myself. This is in Romans 7:15. And again, if you have the YouVersion notes, they're right there. I don't really understand myself. For what I want to do, I want to do what is right. He's like, I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. So I want to do what is right. Okay, this time I'm going to do the right thing. And then instead I do this thing over here and I hate this and I don't want to do this and this is wrong and I know it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm not going like, I'm cool with this. No, it's wrong. I hate it. He says, but if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Going back to the idea of having a standard. He's like, it's not me. It's the sin living in me that's affecting me. It's part of who I am. And so I can try to do the right thing, but I can't. He says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. And again, we all have skeletons. This is all of us. You're not better than anyone else. He says, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good. And this time I'm not going to do, no. But I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong. This is wrong. I don't want to, I'm not going to, but I do it anyway. He says, but if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It's sin living in me that does it. He's saying, we are all sinners. He already said that earlier in chapter 3 of Romans. All have sinned. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. There's this sin living in us. It's affected us all the way back to Adam and Eve. Infected us all the way back to Adam and Eve. He says, I want to do the right thing and I don't. And he goes on and says, I have discovered this principle of life. That when I want to do what is right. This is the right side? I think this is right. When I want to do what is right, want to. Guys, oh, this time, I'm not going to look. This time, I'm not going to drink. This time, I'm not going to go down that road. This time, I'm going to stay out of that office. But I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart, and this is probably where you are. I love God. I want to do what's right. I love God with all my heart. But there's this other power within me, within me, that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And maybe you absolutely echo these words. Oh, what a miserable person I am. I'm such a loser. Why do I even, like, I got nothing. I screw up all the time. Why am I even alive? Why am I even here? I can't do anything right. He's Paul, the writer of half the New Testament, says, what a miserable person I am. And listen to what he says. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And he asks a question, and I'm not going to answer it this week. But I want to point out one thing. We'll answer it next week. He doesn't say what. He doesn't say, what is going to fix me? What is the program that I need to do? What's the confession prayer that I need to pray? What number of Bible verses do I need to memorize? Who is the right person that I should talk to? What? What are the steps that I should take? And the issue, the answer is none. There is no YouTube video that's going to solve your sin problem. There is no self-help book that is going to solve your sin problem. I'm sure you can learn things from YouTube. I've done it. I've changed the carburetor on my snowblower. I read lots of books about improving myself. But it's not going to solve your sin problem. It's not going to solve my sin problem. It's not going to fix our problem. Because the answer isn't in a what. It isn't in a, I'm going to try harder this time. It isn't in, I'm going to change phone providers so I don't have data. It isn't in, I'm going to quit my job. And all those things might be important and might be necessary. But ultimately, our sin problem can't be fixed by a what. It can only be fixed by a who. Only by a who. And next week we'll talk about who that is. Spoiler, it's Jesus. Jesus can do it. But that's us. And maybe that's not us. Maybe that's just me. But we all do it, right? We try to deny it. I'm fine. I'm better than them. I mean, dude, hello, I'm a pastor. We try to hide them. No, there's nothing here. There's nothing to see here. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to the skeleton in the closet. That's a Wizard of Oz reference. That's an old movie. Okay. We try to ignore them. If I ignore it, it'll go away. As long as I ignore it, I don't have to worry about it. I'm sure everything will be fine. It'll all work out in the end. Time heals all wounds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Catchphrase. And not that those things aren't partially true. But some of the hurt and the skeletons we've got in those closets can't be ignored away. And finally, we can't fix it. We try to fix it, but we can't. You can't fix it. You can't fix your sin problem. Sean, that's so mean. That's so non-empowering. What about my esteem and my self-image? Sorry, you're a loser sinner just like Paul. But there's hope in Jesus. We all have our skeletons in the closet. We all do. We're all in the same boat. And before you start thinking you're worse or better than anyone else, you're not. We're all there together going through the same struggles, the same challenges. There's no temptation that isn't common for all of us that we all haven't dealt with in some way, shape, or form. And again, yours might be different than mine, but it's still temptation. And so I'm going to throw out a list here. It is a long list, and it is not long enough. But on this list, I want you to just Not out loud, not point, not come over to the stage. But just to think, what are your skeletons? What are your skeletons? What are the skeletons that you're dealing with? And this is, again, just a partial list, but maybe it's past regret. Maybe you did something in the past and you don't want anyone to know about it and you're just hiding it away. Maybe it's porn. Maybe you are addicted to porn. And you watch it on your TV, you look at it on your phone, and you're like, no, not this time, but then you do it again. Maybe it's gambling. We were talking about this in the creative team meeting, and gambling is now one of the highest challenges that our country face. And, of course, it's so easy. Like, you can't even get ads without some kind of casino, MGM or Bet whatever, or even stupid little slot machine things. Okay. But maybe it's gambling. Maybe that's something you struggle with. Maybe it's marital issues. Maybe your marriage looks fine on the outside, but inside it is crumbling, and either you are unwilling to admit it to anyone else, or maybe you're unwilling to admit it to yourself. Maybe there's someone. Maybe if the kiss cam showed up on you, it wouldn't be your spouse that's next to you. And you're hiding it. No one knows about this. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe you have an alcoholism problem. Maybe you just drink too much. Now, I don't know where that line is. I'm not a professional. But you're hiding it. Maybe it's drugs or some other kind of addiction. Oh, this one's legal. It's okay. If you're addicted to anything, it's a problem. And we stuff it into the closet. Maybe it's emotional struggles. Maybe you deal, like, we'll talk about this in a second, but maybe it's anger. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's just, there's just stuff that you don't want anybody to know that you don't have it all together. And you sure look good to everyone else. And your Instagram profile is spot on. But maybe there's some struggles that you're hiding. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe you just feel like I'm not good enough, or I don't do anything right, or people don't, like, I don't know, I'm just not any good. Maybe it's gossip. Oh, we're just sharing prayer requests. That's okay. No, it's gossip. Shut up. The idea of, like, it's sin to be like, oh, let me tell you about them. And, oh, no one knows that. I'm just the expert. Like, maybe that's the skeleton. Maybe it's, okay, so we have past regrets. That's mistakes that you made. Maybe it's past hurts. And now we're talking about something maybe you didn't do, but something that was done to you. And you're hurting. And you've never addressed it. You've never really dealt with getting help. And maybe that was an issue with your parents. Maybe you struggled when they got a divorce and you never felt any good about it ever since. Maybe you don't talk to them ever. I don't know. Maybe it's your failures or mistakes. There's something you've done wrong. Again, these all run together. You've made a mistake before and you don't want anyone to know about it. You hide it away. Maybe you have an eating disorder. Maybe you binge and purge. Maybe you're anorexic. These are issues that we deal with and we hide them away. I don't want anyone to know. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. Maybe your sin, you're the skeleton, and not all these are sins, but maybe your skeleton in the closet is that you're better than everybody. You sit here and like, oh, I know, I'm humble, but I'm really glad I'm not them or them or them or them because I am better. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you struggle with anger. And maybe your anger shows up, but maybe just to your kids. Maybe your anger only shows up in your family. Maybe it doesn't show up at all. Maybe you're just angry in here and look good on the outside. Maybe you have relationship problems. Maybe that's with a coworker. Maybe that's with a friend. Maybe that's your own parents, as I said. Maybe that's your kids. Maybe there's an issue there that you're ignoring. Like, no, we're fine. And yet you haven't talked to your dad in 10 years. Maybe it's greed or materialism. You want more. Oh, no, it's okay. I'm just being a good manager, a steward of the money God has given me. But you always want more, and you don't want anyone else to know that. Maybe it's just an idol, anything that comes in the place of God. Hey, I'm just out here in God's creation. I need to miss church and worship because I need to hunt. Did I just step on toes? You can step on mine, these cheap shoes. But like, we just say, no, that's okay because that's an appropriate reason to not follow God. I don't know. And maybe there's others. I know there's others. There's tons of things. And my issue here isn't to say, here's what's wrong with you and what's not wrong with me. I come onto that list, I assure you, that I show up on that list multiple times. And I just want us to begin thinking about it. Because when we get to the end of this series, we're going to have some decisions to make. Are we going to leave them in there? Or are we going to let them out? Because we're not alone. You're not alone in this. And I'm not alone in this. We're all in the same boat. We all have our skeletons in the closet. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. God, I just thank you for the honesty of your word, the Bible, that it could hide and cover up things like the sin of Adam and Eve and the fact that they hid. And Paul being completely blatant and vulnerable, saying that he doesn't do anything that's right. God, I thank you that these are real people that we can identify with and that we are all in the same boat with them and with the people in this room, people listening and watching online. We're all sinners. We all have skeletons in our closets. And I pray, God, that you would keep the distractions away from us and that we would be real and honest and open about dealing with the things that are in our closet, about opening the doors and exposing them to the light of Jesus so that we can bring them to you rather than someone finding them out. And we can just be honest and transparent and allow the one, the answer, not the what, but the who that can rescue us from this life of sin to change us from the inside out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.